Around the turn of the century, when Travis Morrison was in his 20s and early 30s, he was the front man for a Washington, D.C. rock band. They were called the Dismemberment Plan, and they were kind of big in an underground way. Critics loved their albums. They drew crowds at every stop, toured with Pearl Jam, co-headlined with Death Cab for Cutie, but they never quite became household names. And in 2003, as bands do, they broke up. The drummer went to NASA, the guitarist became a teacher, and Travis Morrison became a web programmer at this new online thing called the Huffington Post, which is where he met Catherine Goldstein, an editor for the site. Catherine liked this nice new tech guy, so she asked him out. And it got serious. And then, little by little, she realized she was dating somebody else.
Kind of like the first pseudo date was that I was late at the office, she was late at the office, and she was going to a stranger party.
Where you're supposed to just invite a stranger to come to the dinner party, and it was kind of a fun and casual thing to do. And I was getting ready to leave the office, and I saw Travis there sitting at his computer, and I was like,
hey, do you want to come to this with me? And I mean, I was pretty psyched, actually. I had my eye on her for a little bit.
So we're at this dinner party, we're eating our, you know, couscous or whatever.
We were talking about being in bands, and someone said, Travis, you were in a band, right? And I say, yeah. And this one woman says,
oh, what's the band called?
And I say, said, the Dismemberment Plan.
She's
and
like,
she goes, whoa.
Oh my God, I saw you three times in high school. I love your band. That's so amazing. Oh man, I hope I'm not wrong. Losing everything, living in song. And I know we didn't try. When we were all inside.
That was probably the very first moment Catherine had of like, oh, really? Oh, a band?
I'm definitely a very casual music consumer.
She's a song person. She likes this song. She likes that song.
I didn't do any Googling or anything at that point. I think my dad discovered he had a Wikipedia page and was just super pumped about that.
She always took it in stride. She was never impressed nor dismissive of it.
We start to get to know each other more, and I ask him about his music, and they've been broken up for 8 years, and I ask if I can hear any of the albums, because I had never heard any of the songs or any of the albums. I knew nothing about the band, and he was like,
I don't have any of our records.
So you should go just buy them on iTunes.
You know, up till then, I was like, well, why would I have my records around? I know how they go.
And I was kind of annoyed, because I didn't really want to like go spend $40 buying all his albums on iTunes, but I was like, okay.
I think she liked the song You Are Invited.
But it said you are invited by anyone to do anything. You are invited for all time.
We've been dating at this point for about a year.
We were putting out a re-release of our flagship record, Emergency and I, on Barsic Records on vinyl. And Barsic asked us if we would play some shows. And
so I was like, oh, this is going to be great fun. Like, I'm looking forward to this. They broke up really before there would be like a huge internet footprint. So the only time I'd seen him perform was when he sang with his church choir.
We're back.
Then I think it became more real.
It definitely was becoming a bigger deal than I think I initially thought it would be, and also I think that the band thought it would be.
Yeah. This is where Travis loses a tooth.
I remember one morning waking up, and he had all these cuts on him, and he had like...
Oh, there's always bruises.
Cuts on his face and like...
Scratches.
Dried blood on his arms, and I was like, honey, what is going on? He's like...
For some reason, I have a habit of pounding myself in the forehead with my microphone. I don't know what that's all about, but I end up with the imprint of the microphone grill in my forehead. It kind of looks like you got a hickey from like a waffle cut potato chip or a Chex.
I was slightly horrified by the number of full contact wounds he had from playing a rock show, but apparently that's just how things go when you're Travis Morrison, so... It was surprising and interesting to see him up there because he can have a very wild persona on stage.
There's a little bit of an alter ego.
And that's very different I think, in everyday life.
Seeing me kind of go from being somewhat reserved or somewhat mellow to pretty all over the place was entertaining. I don't think scary. I don't think he was like, he's going to hurt himself. His lower back.
Sometimes he would do things on stage that were just completely crazy.
It was probably very empirical. Like, I've never seen him smash his head against a keyboard.
Spit water across the audience out of his mouth.
I've never seen him fall to the ground and go on a shrieking monologue about Chick-fil-A.
In a recent small show, he ripped apart a mannequin and started humping it on stage. That was right before our wedding. I could definitely see if that was our whole life, that it would be very tiring, exhausting, I think. After the Webster Hall shows, we were up really late. We both had to get up early and go to work. We both went to work. I came home and he had cleaned my entire apartment and, like, cooked dinner to thank me for everything that I had done to help him during the weekend. That was, like, a moment where it was very clear to me that this was not in any way threatening or changing to our relationship independently of his moments of rock stardom.
The Dismemberment Plan is officially back together and now touring in support of their new album, Uncanny Valley. Catherine Goldstein remains a modest fan. You can see a video of the band performing at studio360.org.